What's that all about?
Oh, you're new here. I've got a bit of a reputation.
So what are you, a tough guy?
Oh, I don't think anyone's ever called me tough. I'm Milo.
I'm Zach.
No, Zach.
No. So what exactly is this reputation?
Well, people have used the J word, but you know what they say. Sticks and stones can damage your vital organs, so always wear body armor.
Hi, Milo.
Hi, Melissa.
I'm just gonna stand back here.
Good call.
So, Milo, how was your weekend?
Eventful.
Yeah, I'll bet.
I got a new scar. Wanna see?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, cool. That's a good one.
I know, right?
All right, seriously, dude, what's going on here?
What do you mean?
I mean, what is all of this? And what is the J word?
Well, I don't like to say it out loud.
Huh. It's one of those heavy-duty bungees they use to tie stuff down at construction sites. Hey, where did you get the...
I bet my pudding pack we don't see them again today.
I'll take that action.
Really?
Yeah, are you kidding? Milo's tough. As a matter of fact, I'll see your pudding pack and raise you a snickerdoodle.
Or are you just all talk?
She just called you out.
Ah, wait, why aren't you screaming?
I find it doesn't help. Just hurts the larynx. Hand me that bungee, and you better hang onto my backpack. Bungie was definitely defective. No! Dioji, go home! Silly dog. He's not supposed to be in the street. You might want to slide over this way a little.
The J word wouldn't happen to be Jinx, would it?
Look at that mailbox, look at that tree. It's about as beautiful as it can be. Whoa, today is gonna be exceptional. Never boring, even for a minute. It's my world and we're all living in it. Whoa, never boring, even for a minute. It's my world and we're all living in it.
It looks like we're good to go. Time to test out our maze.
Did someone say test?
It's not really a test. We're more like lab rats going after cheese.
Did someone say cheese?
Buford, that's just a metaphor.
I am to metaphor cheese as metaphor cheese is to transitive verb crackers.
Hello and welcome to episode 55 of Palka, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, TF2 Mike, and joining me is the nearly sick Peaconcourt Michael. What the hell is it, dude? Every time we podcast, you're sick. Like, this happened back in TFG1's, like, oh my god, you're forcing me to talk about Five Faces of Darkness, you jerk.
Hey, how's it going?
Today is the 55th day of summer, and this means it is the day that GCR continues our new cartoon review podcast for the summers of 2016 and 2017. We are celebrating 10 years of Phineas and Ferb this year, and San Diego Comic-Con was a little while ago at this point, but some news came out of Comic-Con that Dan and Swampy's new series, Milo Murphy's Law, starring Weird Al Yankovic as the lead character, and he also does the theme song, Phineas and Ferb and Milo Murphy are going to be crossing over in an episode next year. So Phineas and Ferb aren't gone, folks. They're just, you know, succumb to Milo Murphy's Law. So, according to the article from Hollywood Reporter, let's see, Disney XD is set to announce Friday at San Diego Comic-Con that Milo Murphy's Law will get a crossover episode with Phineas and Ferb. That's scheduled to premiere next year. In addition to Phineas and Ferb, the crossover will also feature characters including Perry the Platypus, Doofenshmirtz, Candace, Isabella, Belgique, and Buford. It says... We've always known that Milo lived just a couple of neighborhoods away from Phineas and Ferb, Povenmire and Marsh said in a joint statement. We planted lots of clues and Easter eggs in this first season, so a lot of fans have figured it out. But what they don't know is that the story arc of Milo Murphy's Law has been designed from the very beginning to lead us to a big crossover with all the Phineas and Ferb characters. It's planned for early in the second season, and we can't wait for the fans to see the two worlds collide.
Interesting.
I've seen the first five episodes of Milo Murphy's Law. I like it. I think it's interesting. I think it's fun. Because whereas on Phineas and Ferb, it's two kids and their friends having a bunch of adventures from the inventions they create and the B stories of Doofenshmirtz and anybody else coming in to clean it up. With Milo Murphy's Law, he's accident prone big time, and that takes him and his friends on a lot of adventures.
Okay.
Yes.
I haven't seen much of it. I haven't seen much of Milo Murphy's Law, I should say.
Yeah, from what I've seen, I enjoy it. And somebody asked me, I forget who asked me, on Twitter or somewhere. It was going to be me, you, and Steve Megatron doing a crossover between this show and Tooncast talking about the first five episodes of Milo Murphy's Law. It was supposed to happen in between season one and season two of this podcast. Didn't happen that way. So eventually, hopefully soon, we can get that done. Maybe in between season two and season three. We'll see, folks. But we're here today to talk about two more episodes of Phineas and Ferb, as per usual. Today on the docket, we have We Call It Maze. And then, ladies and gentlemen, meet Max Modem. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated.
Hello, Perry the Platypus. Sorry I'm not here to greet you myself, but this is... a trap.
So first up, We Call It Maze. Phineas and Ferb create a life-size maze filled with fun obstacles. Melissa, the leader of the Little Sparks, a younger branch of the Fireside Girls, is immediately captivated when she meets Candace and finds out that she was the Fireside Girl who earned 50 patches in one day. When the girls try out the maze, Candace takes charge, but things don't go as planned. Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz reasons that if the Leaning Tower of Pisa can generate souvenir revenue, then surely he can use his latest invention, the Tiltinator, to tilt buildings so he can sell souvenir replicas. Oh, how is that trying to take over the tri-state area?
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's not even particularly evil.
Yeah, no. It's just not evil enough. You know. This episode has some really cool songs. It's got Not Knowing Where You're Going, which is one of my favorites.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
And this also has two instrumentals, History of Rock and Couldn't Kick My Way Into Her Heart. Which are both instrumentals, but really, Not Knowing Where You're Going is the main song here. There was no Too Young line. Ferb's
line.
Yeah, Ferb's line, you don't even need to say it.
I know what we're going to do today.
Yep. What were you thinking about We Call It Maze?
I was wondering if this would have anything to do with corn.
That's what I thought too.
Sadly, it does not.
No corn for us.
Just mazes.
Yep, just mazes.
Mazes should be big and fun and exciting.
Yes. And, you know... what was it that Buford said? oh, God.
You did not show your work. I will in about 20 minutes.
No, that's not. I think it was before that. Yeah.
Anytime they reference a poop, I'm like, yeah, extra points.
Yeah.
10 points for Gryffindor.
No.
Poor Candace doesn't seem to be able to skate.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure how this worked into the rest of the episode.
The skate date thing?
But she was on skates the entire episode.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure why.
Well, she was... Which she should be able to skate at this point, because we had that episode a while ago with her and Jeremy and Susie and their grandmothers and the whole, you know, roller derby thing.
Oh, the roller derby one, yeah.
You think she'd have learned by now.
Oh. You really don't have to skate that well at the roller derby, because you're just going to get knocked over, right? There's going to be some roller derby women beating my ass now.
Better be careful.
Get him.
Yeah,
I'm going to eat all the jelly beans. 20 minutes, I'll show that guy. I like the broken echo.
Yeah, I do too. Did you hear that, Pair of the Platypus? My second to last echo is broken.
You forgot had a broken echo too. It's going around.
Yeah. Hey, I never got my metaphor. Cheese. Wombat. Cheese. Huh? My echo's broken. I love that.
So there were two cool things that I liked.
Okay.
Besides the Not Knowing Where You're Going song, and that was during the montage. The montage for Not Knowing Where You're Going really makes the song for the most part. But it had the floating baby head.
Yep.
Which I like to point out whenever I see it. And the fact that Doofenshmirtz's space station is, I don't want to say it's like a Death Star, but there's a lot of Death Star references going around.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you've got the pit swing,
the platform, yeah, swing line, yeah.
What was that called? It's like I want to say it's like a trench, but it's not a trench because that's where the X-wings fly.
It's a
chasm.
Yeah, let's go with that.
We're gonna go with chasm, and they swing across the chasm. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah,
it's a chasm swing. That's what it is. You know, nobody kissed Candace and said for luck, but they should have.
Yeah, I don't think that would have worked with who was there in that scene.
Melissa idolizes her, though.
Yeah, that's... Maybe she could have just given her a hug, but yeah, no. That. No. Innuend don't.
Not romantically. Not
I know that, but like, still.
What's all just... that licky style for it?
Oh!
Yeah, thanks.
God. Oh,
just a quick smooch. It wasn't like... Wow, man. Okay.
So the soup Nazi makes an appearance, kind of, sort of.
What? Where?
No pizza for you.
No pizza for you. The Leaning Tower of Pizza.
Yeah.
I get it now. Why is there no pizza? This pizza's deliberately in the name. Should be pizza everywhere.
There should be, but there's not.
Yeah, so he wants to tilt his building. No, wait, he wants to tilt all the buildings.
And his building will be straight, so he can sell merchandise to his straight building, because every other building will be tilted.
What if he had his own construction company that fixed tilted buildings? He'd make a fortune.
Yeah.
That would be kind of evil.
Yeah, that would be kind of smarter than what he tried to do.
Yeah, well, we don't come here for intelligent conversations, so.
Yeah, there's no pensions here. I have a pensions for intelligent conversation.
I have a pension, that's right. I'm not talking to myself. Intelligent conversation.
Oh, God. I like We Call It Maze. It's kind of fun. I was thinking when it got tipped over and started rolling down the street that something else was going to happen, and then I saw the panel with the grass, and they're like, and the finish is like, okay, everybody jump and stop, and then the thing falls off a cliff.
Yeah, I was actually thinking, well, Candace got out, so did I miss the part where Phineas and Ferb got out? Because the whole thing tipped over and rolled away.
Yeah.
Thought that was kind of strange. But, you know, it all worked out, kind of. There was a sign on the cliff, and I forget. I think we've seen this cliff before.
We were
supposed to, like, know what the signs were, or what the sign said.
I don't remember what the sign said.
Anyway, not a big deal.
Don't remember at all.
Space. So I'd give this one a 3.
Okay. Same
I'm
here.
I'm comfortable with 3. It didn't knock my socks off. Introduced a new character, which is always nice. Makes me wonder if Melissa might not be, like, you know, someone's grandchild or something on the animation staff. Because it was voiced by a child. It was clearly a little kid. It was like Ike from South Park, you know?
Yeah, it's very true. I'm not sure whose child it could have been based off of, or grandchild it could have been based off of, though. I'm going to give it a 3 as well. I enjoy it. I think it's fun. It's going to bother me now. The line when they go into the maze and Baljeet's like, I'll handle all the math problems, and Buford's like, I'll handle all the bullying or something or other. I forget what. God, I can't remember what the. I just watched the stupid episode.
It's not in the wiki?
No, it's not in the wiki.
All right.
So, yeah.
Brain cheeses, huh? All right, you do all the ones who rely on brains, and I'll do all the ones who rely on cheesing.
I do not think you understand the concept.
Less talky, more worky.
It's so much fun not knowing where you're going. Take a left or a right and just go in without really knowing. Whether marching, flying, crawling, waltzing, or rowing. There's no surprise in life if you know where you're going. So walk around like a monkey with a blindfold on. Like an Eskimo in 6 months of darkness who misses the dawn. So jump in the maze, it's the latest craze. Spend your days going every which way. It's so much fun not knowing where you're going. It's so much fun not knowing where you're going. It's so much fun not knowing where you're going.
I've got no idea what my destination is.
It's so much fun not knowing where you're going. It's so much fun not knowing where you're going. It's so much fun not knowing where you're going. It's so much fun not knowing where you're going.
Here at the GCRN, we have been assimilating the world of geekdom for over 5 years now. The Geekcast Radio Network brings you a multitude of geek content, from blogs and reviews to podcasts covering comics, film, TV, cartoon, gaming, and so much more. If we don't have it...
We don't have it. We partner with the best and most diverse podcasts on the net, covering Doctor Who, G.I. Joe, Punisher, Turtles, and more. We have more than your ears and eyes can handle. Join the geek revolution at geekcastradio.com, and remember to unleash the geek in you.
Ah, Patty the Platypus. Welcome to my evil space station!
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 Cookie!
Station! Wait, did you hear that? That cookie part? I think my echo is broken. I really do. Anywho.
Ah, brave new world that has such putzes in it. You know, kids, a lot has changed while your old Uncle Joker's been away. New Gotham, new rules, even a new Batman.
It isn't 65 years in the future, but Legends of the Dark Knight has gone beyond. Batman Beyond, that is.
Ah, the new boy.
ears are too long and I miss the cape, but not too shabby, not too shabby at all.
Join Steve and Mike as they delve into the remaining episodes of the podcast, where they'll cover Batman Beyond, products, games, and more. Check it out only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Oh, what the heck? I'll do it!
Woohoo! Way to go, Mom!
Yes, oh yes, good on you, honey.
Okay then, dinner's in the oven. Just heat it up. Bye! Rock and roll!
Oh, I was afraid that a day like today would come someday. Today.
What do you mean, Dad?
Oh, your mother's going to meet a lot of exciting and cool people. What if I'm no longer cool enough for your mum? I'm hardly a rock star, am I? I'm afraid I'm hopelessly nerdy.
You know, Dad may be a little geeky for the new century, but in the 80s, the rise of the synthesizer allowed even hopeless nerds to rock the charts.
Phineas, I know what we're going to do today.
Yes, yes you do.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to meet Max Modem. Oh, Lord. When Linda is asked to do a Lindana reunion concert, Lawrence worries that she might be missing... the excitement of her old life, so he asks the boys to help him turn him into a pop star so that he can perform at the concert to show Mom that he is, too, an exciting guy. Across town, Dr. Doofenshmirtz plans a faux alien invasion in order to take over the tri-state area. Okay, why does Mr. Fletcher remind me of friggin', oh, what's that stupid Hugh Grant movie? Music and Lyrics with him and Drew Barrymore.
I don't know.
I swear to God, this sounds just like that one song from that thing.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I'm helplessly nerdy. I say that all the time.
Yeah.
I'm helplessly nerdy.
But we're not trying to make you into...
I wouldn't know hip if it came up and bit me.
But we're not trying to make you a pop star, Dad. We're trying to make you a has-been. It's much easier.
Well, see, that's the thing I was thinking about when you were reading from the wiki again.
I only read the plot.
He did not go to the boys for help. They kind of went to him and said, we're going to do this thing.
Yeah.
And he was a little perplexed by it, but he went along with it because he's a nice enough guy. I like Lindana.
Yeah.
I like Lindana. I like the fact that... I mean, we knew about Lindana earlier. This wasn't the first time we've seen Lindana. But it was funny because they're like, I can't believe Candace didn't know about this.
Yeah. I don't know how Candace didn't know about this. It was Alex Fletcher in Music and Lyrics. The song was "Pop Goes My Heart."
What's that?
It's a song from the Hugh Grant, Drew Barrymore movie named Music and Lyrics, and that's what the whole time seeing Max Modem is what made me think of this, because in this movie, Hugh Grant plays a 80s has been.
Oh, okay.
So that's what made me think of it.
That wasn't the one where he had the Christmas song.
No.
Different one?
Yeah.
All right, then. I like the fact that Ferb said, Phineas, I know what we're going to do today.
Yep, that was his line.
He said every word like this.
Yeah.
I know what we're going to do today.
Uh-huh.
It was a nice bit of turnaround.
Absolutely, yeah. I like this one. I dig it because it's not very often we get a dad centric episode.
Yeah, I like Lawrence.
Yeah.
I like Lawrence. He's cool. And you know, it begs the question, does Lawrence know about the boys? And if so, why is he not telling Linda?
Well, I think he tries to several times. Way back in the flying car of the future today episode.
Uh-huh.
You know, oh, there's bolt 34873 Ferb or whatever it is, and he's like, oh, did you know the boys, and he even did it in the monster truck episode. He's like, did you know the boys made monster trucks? And she just assumes that he's talking about the race car track thing that they did, not the bigger version of it. So he's tried to several times. And then there's the one episode, have we gotten to it yet? Where it's the love, where Doofenshmirtz does the delovinator, and it turns into an anti-romance rocket thing. He has this delovinator satellite, and Lawrence is off doing a conference, and Linda keeps calling him, like Candace usually keeps calling her, and Candace is like, Mom, usually after the third or the fourth call, I go get you. And we see Linda going into this thing, pulling Lawrence out of there, like, you're coming with me. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh, God. But, yeah.
Nice. Moving right along, the Alienator.
Yeah.
How useful exactly are dancing alien holograms?
Doofenshmirtz thinks everybody's dumber than him, and that's just not true.
Well, as it turns out, everyone is dumber than him, because when they first turn on, they're all like, oh no! Well,
yeah.
There's that crazy guy. He's not a crazy guy, he's actually real. Or what do they call him, a crackpot? What do they call
him?
Yeah,
crackpot in a suit,
He's a crackpot. But no, he's actually king of all aliens.
Yep.
That's funny.
Oh boy. They've got a reference in here that you may love or hate.
What's that?
Lawrence's Max Modem suit design and hairstyle are similar to Riff Raff's Space Commander suit in
My god, they are. You know what's funny is I made a reference. I wrote, we know Riff Raff can sing, but She's Got an Alien Heart is kind of bad. It's really kind of bad. It goes well with the Lawrence character. You know, it sounds like something Lawrence would sing. But yeah, I was just like, come on, Ritz, you know, you can do better than this. I like it that the aliens were backup dancers, though.
Yeah. And Phineas and Ferb were dressed up as Daft Punk.
I wasn't going to say Daft Punk, but okay, I'll buy that.
That's what the all-knowing, all-seeing eye of the wiki says.
Oh, Wiki, you stretch. You stretch so far.
Oh, come on now.
There was no Daft Punk in the 80s.
Phineas and Ferb's robot musician suits may be an allusion to the duo Daft Punk, who dress as robots when performing.
Yeah. So. Well, maybe. I like he's like, well, you're trying too hard there, Dad. You gotta slow it down.
Well, you know, I mean, there are songs from the 70s and 80s in here, because when Lindana is singing, you know, she references Roxanne by the Police, Come On Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners, and My Sharona by the Knack. So.
She references them?
Yeah, because she says, I'm not Roxanne, I'm not Eileen, I'm not Sharona.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. I wasn't really listening to the lyrics. It was more of a beat thing for me.
Of course
me.
You weren't. Yeah. The Alienator's voice is similar to HAL 9000.
Okay. I didn't really catch that, but okay.
Okay.
Okay. You better believe it, Ducky.
I like this episode because it turns into an all-family adventure.
Yeah.
And poor Doofenshmirtz. Huh. Oh, I was right. Well, he is just a crackpot in a suit.
A crackpot in a suit. I like the again. There's potty humor in this one that made me giggle. When he says, Perry, open the roof, because we don't want a repeat of that diarrhea-inator.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard. I was like, yeah, you better open the roof before you spray it all over the ceiling.
Oh, God.
I laughed. I did.
No. I don't get your enjoyment of potty humor.
I love the potty humor.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I think it's funny. Bodily humor makes me giggle so hard. Who is that? I don't know, but he seems familiar in a nerdy way.
In a nerdy way, yeah.
I want people to say that about me. He seems familiar in a nerdy way. Like, that's me.
Yep. Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, so this whole thing, the whole episode rotates around love, because Lawrence doesn't want to lose Linda to her returning fandom.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't want her to abandon the family, I guess, more, or is it more abandoning him?
I think it's more about him, not the family. Mm-hmm. Because if you... Okay, so we're at day 55. We've gone through all of the first season. We're 5 days away from ending the second season. Yeah. I would say it's more about him thinking that, you know, she's too good for him. Kind of,
well,
like...
She totally is. Well, I'm so... the fact is they're made for each other. They both like the same things.
Yeah.
They
We've seen them doing the same things. We've seen them doing activities, but there are times in the series where it seems like they don't do anything with each other, or they're off doing. I mean, they're always off doing something, but the series isn't about Mr. and Mrs. Fletcher, Flynn Fletcher's romance. It's about their kids and their crazy inventions and this guy who, you know, for $15 on the internet got an evil scientist degree.
There you go.
You know, so, I mean, every now and then an episode like this showing you, you know, how much that and she pretty much says, when he asks her, you know, he's like, would you like to go get a cup of tea sometime, whatever he says. And she says, no, I have, you know, my husband at home takes really good care of me and the kids. And he's like, you know, that's when he's like, you know, you bet your sweet ass, or whatever he says.
He says, you better believe it, ducky.
Yeah, there you go.
You better believe it.
Yeah, you can do that accent better than me, so.
He's like brushing coolness there. Just not quite, you know, grabbing it with both fists, but just grazing it a little.
Yeah, because it's not like, you know, he's going to sit there and say, keep it cool, Chili Cheese tried to say chili cheese when he got his sunglasses in The Wizard of Oz, and Phineas is like, no, don't.
No, stop. No.
Yes.
Lindana gets the yes, he does line this time around, which I liked.
Yep.
I like Lindana's look. It's just,
yeah,
so 80s.
So 80s.
Yeah.
It reminds me. Let's face it, the 80s were the best decade.
I'm leaning that way, yeah.
Yeah.
I just got my XM radio turned back on. And I'm
here we go. I remember this story.
Oh, my God. You wouldn't believe the trouble I went through. But I just got it transferred from my old car to my new car.
Yeah.
And because they weren't gonna. They refused to do it, and I raised a big stink.
You pay them. Why would they refuse to do something that you pay them to?
Don't actually pay them, because I got a lifetime membership. Like 10 years ago, when XM Radio was about to tank, I got a lifetime membership. And then XM Radio merged with Sirius Radio, and now they're doing better, but they're basically a monopoly. There are no other satellite radio stations.
Yeah.
Or other satellite radio companies.
Yeah.
So they don't like people having a lifetime membership because, you know, they're solvent now. They're not giving away the service practically for free like they were 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, they would be making a lot more money off me if I were paying monthly.
Yes, they would. Yeah.
So instead, you know, I'm not paying anything. But they were like, no, we're not gonna extend this service to your new car. And that was aggravated, and I raised a big stink, and finally somebody from higher up the food chain called me back and helped me out. So sweet. That was nice. Yeah, I may keep my free service for a little while longer.
Oh, you paid for it once. You shouldn't have to pay for it again. If they sat there and if you sat on a computer 10 years ago and they advertised to you lifetime membership for, let's say, $100, I don't know what it was, but let's just say
it was like $300.
Okay, well, whatever.
Yeah.
If I'm paying $300,
I think normally it's like $20 a month.
Yeah.
And that comes out to be something like 200 and some odd a year.
Yeah.
240 a year, let's say. So it practically pays itself within a year, and I've had it for 10 years.
Yeah. Well, if I'm paying for a lifetime membership, a $300 price point,
yeah.
You damn right they better be able to switch it since I've already paid $300 for a lifetime membership.
10 years ago.
Now, it would have sucked, you know, if 10 years ago you bought the lifetime membership and then the next day you croaked. That's always, and I'm not, heaven forbid anything happened to you, but it's one of those things where it's like, I don't understand. Lifetime this, lifetime that. Well, what if somebody's lifetime gets cut short after they've paid for whatever? Yeah.
Let's say something with a little less mortality involved. You can only transfer up to 3 times.
Okay.
I knew that going into it. So I thought, okay. So what, I'll have this car for the next 10 years, and I'll have the next car for the next 10 years, and I'll have the next car for the next 10 years, and then I'll die. What they don't tell you is that to transfer is $75.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I know. So I transferred the first time, right? Yeah. To go from my Acura to the CRV.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had the Acura for like 12 years. Mm-hmm. And then I moved that to the CRV, and then I had the CRV for a while, a few years, and then, you know, Chrissy wanted to go to a different vehicle, so she got a new car, and then I got the Civic.
Mm-hmm.
So I called them and I said I want to transfer from my 2007 CRV to my 2014 Civic.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, nope, ain't gonna do it. And I'm like, you listen here, man. Make me come over there. I will be very upset with you if I have to,
yes,
move, if
so,
I have to get up.
So and, you're listening to all kinds of 80s stations on this newly transferred.
Well, to digress. we're talking about the 80s music. And yes, since I've had the XM radio turned back on, I've had it on the 80s channel. So yeah. I've listened to a lot of 80s music the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm. What would you give Meat Max Modem?
5s.
Really?
For lip syncing.
Yeah, that's true.
And the fact that I've been struck by whooping fever.
Yes. Boy, you know it's true. Oh, wait, that's the wrong song.
Sinking. Came through on that one.
Nice. Well, it's the only one that I really know. I mean, I know there are a lot of artists out there that do it, but let's face it, who's more famous than Milli Vanilli? Come on, when it comes to lip syncing, come on.
No, it's true.
I mean, you know, what is this? The 90s again? Trump in a slump? OJ set free? What the hell year is this anyway?
Like Jumanji. What year is this?
Exactly.
That's funny.
God.
Yeah, definitely 5s. I like this one a lot. I really like I don't so much like Max Modem. That whole costume, the riffraff costume. That is, he's totally got the Dairy Queen thing on the front of his head going on.
Yeah,
the Dairy Queen curl.
Yeah, the
and it makes me wonder if Richard O'Brien actually saw this. If he was like, "Oh my God, you guys are kidding me!" I'm sure he had to have seen the concept art.
I don't know.
My ugly Q-tip. That's Lintana, the ugly Q-tip. But she... All right, before we get too far in the weeds, let's wrap it up.
Yeah, we're gonna take a quick break so we can recover from all our '80s hairband nonsense, and we'll be back after this.
Hey, I never got my metaphor cheese. Cheese, cheese, wombat, cheese. Huh? My echo must be broken.
All right, we are back here on day 55. To recap, very excited for the Milo Murphy, Phineas and Ferb crossover episode next year. Hopefully by that time I can get Michael to actually pay attention to the series and maybe enjoy it.
Ah, humbug.
Okay, Cartoon Scrooge. So thank you for joining us here on Palco. There are so many ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts. Thank you to TJ, as always, Graham Finch, and Jason, as well. Those are our three main commenters. I know TJ comments on every single episode. I wish he'd go back to some of the ones that I've replied to him on the comments and see what I wrote back to him.
Like TJ. Question, about how are we doing on Apple reviews?
iTunes reviews. Yeah, yeah. I think
that's
we're still at.
Be replying to.
Yeah, I think we're still at zero iTunes reviews, which really sucks. I thought this.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like I thought this was gonna be like the most popular thing the GCRN has done since, you know, like our first top 100 cartoon countdown, but apparently not.
Something like 8,000 separate downloads.
For us, no. That's all things Transformers.
Okay. Well, yeah, all things. Much no. Better quality podcast. I'm not in it.
But, yes, you are. Like three or four times, yeah.
I mean, if this one's getting pretty good downloads, maybe not like 8,000 downloads, but if this is getting pretty good downloads, then there should be people who are commenting and saying.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right.
Quality GCRN material right here.
I know, right? Oh. I'm looking at it right now. In the last 7 days, and I will look at the all-time numbers here in a minute, but the last 7 days, episode 42, Nerdy Dancing, has 24 total listens in the last week. Christmas Vacation has 27 listens in the last week. Candace's Big Day, 36. Suddenly Susie, 26. Undercover Carl, 27. Ain't No Kitty Ride, 33. Steve the Lizard Whisperer, 28. The Beak, Parts 1 and 2, 32. Lemonade Stand, 41. And Hawaiian Vacation Parts 1 and 2, 68. That's just in the last 7 days.
Oh, I was about to say total?
No, that's just in the last 7 days.
There's at least 28 people who listen. That's good, I guess.
In total, we'd be here all day, but the biggest one for our season 2 coverage was actually the very first episode. Late Nose Monster has a total all-time of 577 listens.
Wow.
Yep. The next biggest number looks to be Christmas Vacation at 486. And then after that, it's Nerdy Dancing in third place and The Bully Code in fourth place. Nerdy Dancing has 267 all-time and Bully Code has 212 all-time.
So you think it'd be like the Chronicles of Meep or like a two-parter that's celebrated?
Well, this is only the season 2 episodes. This is not like I didn't go to the second page. I can go to the second page.
No, that's fine. No, we're good.
So let's see.
We're good. We gotta wrap this up.
let's see. I'm just seeing if there's any huge numbers on.
All I said was that this piece of halibut was good enough for Jehovah.
Okay, the two biggest ones that we have in season 1 are episode 0 and episode 1. Episode 0, which is our introduction, is 301 listens. Episode 1 was the roller coaster at 350. What episode was Meep? I don't even remember what day that was.
I couldn't tell you what day. It was Chronicles of Meep. You know
Chronicles of Meep.
Wiki it.
No, because Wiki's not going to say it's episode 13 of the podcast. Or no, they're not going to say that.
Oh,
that's in season 2. That's not in season 1. Meep's in season 2.
There you go.
Duh.
Never mind.
God, I don't know where it is.
Count really fast.
Musical.
I wanted to go down this rat hole. Come on.
Yeah. I'm working on it here.
Down into the rat's nest.
Chronicles, episode 32, Chronicles of Meep. It has 83 all-time listens.
83?
Yep.
Wow. I mean, honestly, the other one's got like 500 and Chronicles of Meep, yeah. Which is an excellent episode. I'm sure we have tons of hilarious insight. And like 10% of those listens, if that. That's just sad.
I don't know. Follow us on Twitter. I am at TFG1 Mike. You can follow at Geekcast Radio for all the network updates. What is your Twitter?
Pecan Court Michael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palkan and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on the next two cartoons of Phineas and Ferb, The Secret of Success and The Doof Side of the Moon. Michael B., you could learn something. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
She got 50 patches. At the same time?
In one day. And it wasn't even 50 patches. It was 49. Well, technically she got 50 patches in one day, but it was like 2 minutes too late.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting that 80s superstar, Max Modum.
You know, I feel strangely comfortable like this. But how can I be a rock star if nobody's ever heard of me?
We're not trying to make you into a rock star. We're trying to make you into a has-been. That's much easier.
Can I have Bag Your Face on stage for your sound check, please?